council or final council input due to city man, due to city manager this evening. So who would like to step out there? Council McCormick, please. Okay. If I blow a whistle, that's trying to let time. Mr. Dyer keep up with us, so I just take a time out.
Well, first, I want to thank the staff and the city manager for all the work they've done this year and all the work they do all year to reduce expenses, keep an eye on the budget, because that's what happens every day. The budget is an everyday document that everybody's aware of. It's a year-round responsibility. So, and it, city staff is always looking for ways to reduce expenses without reducing services, and I think they've done a good job in the last couple of years of doing that. Over the last 3.5 years since I've been on council, staff has worked together to put the city's financial health back in order. When Councilor Cuddy and I first joined council in 2014, the 2013 and 14 city budget had cut 10 firefighter positions. Working in partnership that year with the mayor and the city manager and the fire chief, we immediately applied for the SAFER grant and were successful. We hired back the firefighters, thereby, and that reduced overtime costs that were a direct result of the layoffs. Between then and now, today, the city has been proactive and intentional, diligently looking for ways to increase revenue and decrease and reduce expenses. Such examples of it are between city staff, the city manager, and council. The city is working to consolidate operations by relocating in one spot the public works garage in joint in cooperation with the county. And by another one is the public works garage, or the public works department has taken advantage of technology, and it's helped reduce the cost of snow removal and salt use. They, thanks to the comptroller's initiative, we are now employee health insurance is we are saving money because we've joined the consortium, and we've in the last 3 years we discovered over $300,000 of unused asset forfeiture funds that are now being used instead of taking from the general fund to do much needed renovations at the police station. So to be here today, 3 years later, with a budget that is in much better financial shape allows us to look to the future with some confidence. However, there are other factors to be considered, such as the president's proposed cuts to programs such as CDBG and RSVP, just to name a few. So there are many factors like this, the known and the unknown, that council must take into consideration. We have issues with our water treatment plant, with the Wasco Lake. We have been presented with a budget here tonight, or a few weeks ago, that is balanced and does maintain city services, but it has a tax increase. What I would like to request is that the city manager work with staff to rework the current proposal to maintain city services while not increasing the tax rate for city or city fees for residents. I believe there is some room for this proposal to do this, and I think it's in the best interest of the city residents, if we could rework this to have no increase in taxes. And the one other thing that I'd like to see staff look into doing is the sewer and water rates. If we could look at lowering the minimum charge from 7 units to 4 units to try to provide some relief to users that do not consume as much as the average user. And that's my whole spiel.
Thank you. Anyone else? Councilor Cuddy.
Thank you, Mayor. Yes, I agree with Councilor McCormick. I think, you know, this being, you know, our fourth budget, the city is definitely in a healthier place. And I see there's a few things that this council has done to help make that happen. One of the first things that I felt needed to be done was we didn't have a comptroller, and one of our priorities was to hire a a comptroller. And within that time, the comptroller, under the council's guidance, has come up with a financial plan that we that keeps us in check. And for the last 3 years, we've had budgets that demonstrate that we can work well with the staff and provide the services for the people of Auburn that are desperately needed. I know that Councilor McCormick mentioned the SAFER grant, and I think that that was shows that, you know, we have forethought and we're applying for grants. But I also would like to say that you know, we as a council worked in good faith with all the bargaining units to make sure that that there was, you know, we were fair with the bargaining units. And once we got the SAFER grant, that allowed us to really maximize the grant. And we're in the position now where overtime is you know, at a good place. And also, one of the things that I would like to bring up, as which was again a hard decision, but when we looked at the finances, it was the only decision we could make, and that decision was to close the cogen facility. I know it was difficult to difficult to close something we spent a lot of money on, but the keeping it open continued to you know, hemorrhage the city's finances. So closing that has basically really allowed the city to, you know, again, be in better financial situation than if we had not closed it. So I agree with Councilor McCormick that a 0% tax increase would be the right thing for us to do. And I think that I know that there are fees that were mentioned in the landfill. I think that those fees, as proposed, as we were discussing, should go on as they are. But I would say that the other fees that we should remain flat. And that's my presentation.
Thank you, Councilor. Anyone else? Councilor Genatino or Councilor Carvel?
I do. I have to agree with Councilor Cluddy on the cogen. I think that closure has afforded us a not so rough budget year through the savings that we have this year, and we will continue to have. So I think we'll benefit as time goes on with the closure of the cogen. Again, it's a hard decision to make after the investment had been made over time, but we needed to just stop our hemorrhaging, as Councillor Cuddy said. I do have a question, and that is about fund balance. Can we just talk a little bit about why we didn't look at fund balance perhaps for some of the other items this year?
Which items are you speaking of?
Not any particular items, but we haven't looked to fund balance. The increase in spending is 1.26% is what is being requested, and we look to raise that through a tax levy. That was what is proposed, not through taking anything from reserve.
Our fund balance is within the fund balance policy, and I did not propose using any fund balance, because if you use fund balance for recurring expenditures, then you're going to have to use fund balance the following year and the following year and the following year. Now, if there's one-time special project items that you wanted to use fund balance for, that would be a reasonable use of fund balance, but it's not good practice to use fund balance for operating items.
So, particular items that might come out of fund balance appropriately might be an art, the art plan or the parks plan, or perhaps even the zoning changes, the changes to the code. Are those appropriate expenditures for fund balance?
As long as those expenditures do not push fund balance below the thresholds that we've set as minimums.
Those are smaller things that were proposed during time. So those would be appropriately sought out from that area, right? So our unrestricted fund balance currently is. Did we add to that after last year's surplus at all?
We had a surplus last year of about $60,000. So yeah, we added to it, but it wasn't
just
a whole lot.
Just a little bit. Mm-hmm. So the current level.
Off the top of my head, I think it's right around $4 million.
Okay. All right. So that leads me to my next question, which is $30,000 or $35,000, which was for zoning, the zoning changes.
Code
housing codes update. Was that 30 or 35? 35,000. And my question is that a one and done fee, or is that something? Are there other hidden costs and expenses there?
So that would be to actually have assistance from a consultant to get that updated. As you can see in the city clerk's budget, there is also a cost to actually update our online code. So we had funding to do Section 305 through our BOA, and so that was done that way, but now we have an expense to actually update our online code. So the housing code update and the code enforcement budget at 35, you would see likely in the city clerk's budget next year an expense to update our online code with the changes that we made.
Okay. So are those both things that are appropriately taken out of fund balance? Okay, just a question. All right, so those items I think that are important for us to look at in this year, mainly the art, and I'm all set with my questions about reserve funding. So thank you so much. Those are things that I think are a priority. The changing to the code that hasn't been done for 10 years, this is what we do. We do policy, and I think they're important. But if we commit to this, we have to commit to the other funding down the road because there are those hidden costs. It's not just a $35,000 one and done. I think that we have to continue with our parks and our art trail projects because these are things that we've committed to in the past, and these are the continuation of that and showing that those are our priorities for this city. I'm not one to shy away from raising the tax levy, but I'm hearing my fellow councilors saying that they would rather not move to a 1.26% raise in the tax levy. My proposal is to find other opportunities, perhaps to find those opportunities through fund balance or other measures. So those are my comments with regard. I'm willing to to go along with a 0% tax levy at the is what I'm hearing my other at least two of my fellow councilors saying. I think that with a 0% tax levy increase, we should expect that next year we're going to have to look at that tax levy increase. Last year we were at a 0.12%. If this year we go with a 0%, then next year we have to pay the piper, if you will, because that will be the point where we have to, we've already committed to salary increases past and off into the future. So we have to We'll have to take a look at that, and I don't think that comes without understanding that in the next budget cycle, some of that revenue may need to be made up. Those are my comments.
Thank you. Laura, could I ask you stay right there. A vehicle purchase, nothing large like a fire vehicle or something for the landfill, a police car, smaller type vehicles, can that be drawn from fund balance? Is that appropriate? You're going to walk up anyway. So.
For a department who doesn't purchase vehicles annually, the garage truck, for example, they have a 20-year-old vehicle. Yeah, that would be an okay fund balance purchase. Police vehicles, no. That's an annual operating expenditure that they buy approximately four vehicles a year. To pull that out of fund balance would just mean next year you don't have that funding in place as well.
I realize they would police vehicles, but I'm thinking like the engineering department last year wanted a new vehicle, pickup trucks, smaller vehicles. That is allowed, or is it good practice?
Yeah, I mean, it's all allowed, but as long as it's something that's not going to be recurring year after year, it's okay. We just don't want to get into the habit of using fund balance and keeping it at that very minimum level. I mean, that's the city's safety net, basically.
You sound like my wife and I discussing our budget at all. What I can't do. So
I personally don't like using fund balance when you're balancing the budget, but you know, obviously it's there for a reason. So
all right, thank you. Mm-hmm. Counselor, I didn't mean to cut you off, but as long as we're on fund balance,
I guess I'd like to start by also thanking staff for all the hard work that they put into this budget and the budgets every year. You know, I guess the budget is an exercise in us providing the services that our constituents expect, but also trying to be fiscally responsible and hold down taxes. It's a difficult balancing act. There's so many unknown factors, and you quickly realize that. I guess I'll pick out a couple of things that weren't discussed yet that I'd like to cover. We're all in support of the additional codes position. We showed that tonight in resolution number 59. I do have a question, and you don't have to answer it now. What will the impact on the budget be once the LIS funding goes away for that position? And I don't need an answer tonight.
We can get you that answer. We can probably get you that answer. I see Jenny and Laura scrambling to see what the breakout is.
Again, I don't need it tonight. It's just something that I would like to know before we vote on the final budget.
I think we can probably have you that answer relatively quickly.
So we would be funding the full-time position, the base salary. It's here somewhere. I believe the top base salary is that right around $50,000. And then you're going to have benefits on top of that. So at least another 25.
That includes workman's comp and Social Security and everything.
Workers' comp, Social Security, retirement, and health insurance.
Okay, thank you. Under DPW, municipal parking, I know we talked about it last week. Mr. Talbot was here. He's agreed to come to us with a presentation on the system that he wants to purchase. You know, a couple things. I just want to make sure that it is compatible with what we're doing with the kiosks. You know, we had talked about a comprehensive parking plan. I know that things are moving a little faster than we had planned. I just want to make sure that everything's consistent. I'd like to talk about when we do that, what the rates are going to be. I know that several months ago there was a proposal for 1 hour free parking, and we put that on hold because of the upcoming visitor center. I'd like us to explore 2 hour free parking and what the impact of that would be. I'd also kind of like us to talk about what we expect the hours of operation are going to be in terms of when people are going to have to pay to park. Are we looking at 12 hours, you know, 8 to 8, that kind of thing. I also think it's important that we have a position assigned to that parking garage that maybe floats between the parking garage and the visitor center. If we're going to encourage people to use the garage, we need to make sure that there's a quick response when there is an issue. I mentioned last week Historical and Cultural Sites Commission, their budget. It's a budget of $30,000. I would like to see that fall under the purview of the clerk's budget. That way there's some oversight of it. And I'd also like to include the Welcome Center under the clerk's budget as well, so that we have oversight for that as well. I'm concerned about the potential impact of the federal cuts. Councilor McCormick, you brought that up. If we were to lose CDBG completely, I believe that the impact in terms of salaries is roughly $100,000. Is that accurate?
Yes.
Okay. And we're funded for 9 months of that, correct? For 9 months? At least 9 months in the current budget cycle?
Yes.
Okay. So, you know, we all know that the current proposal is elimination. Worst case scenario, it's elimination. I think that best case scenario, that if it isn't eliminated, we're probably going to see some cuts there. As a result of that, I think we really have to be careful about expanding additional positions at this time. I think we need to make sure that we're going to continue receiving that funding, that we're not going to be scrambling to preserve the basically two positions I think that $100,000 goes towards. And we all know that the good work that goes on in planning, we want to make sure that continues. So I'm concerned about adding additional positions at this time beyond the codes enforcement officer. I do have a question regarding municipal utilities. There is a proposal to increase watershed inspection, which I am completely in favor of. I would just kind of like to know what that's going to be used for. Is there going to be some oversight for that? I don't need an answer on that now, but it's just something I'd like to discuss before I agree to that completely. I believe that's all I have.
Thank you. Councilor Giannino, when you mentioned the two-hour free parking, that's only for the parking garage.
Correct. Okay. Yes, thank you.
How's that, Councilor?
Yes.
I guess no one else wants to go, Ben. I guess it's my turn. First of all, I want to thank our new city manager and our department heads and all our staff. It's, being a former department head, it's a tough nut when you have to propose a budget. You have to keep things operational and live within your means, and it's a tough balancing act. But I also want to thank Council for some of the hard decisions we've made over the past year. We've made it as a group, different things we've eliminated or cut back on or added to. But that was tough on us because we live in this community. We go to Wegmans, and we are told if when we make a mistake or when we do things good, but normally it's when we make a mistake on someone's eyes. But I'm in total agreement with what the council is saying this year. I think it's time for all of us to tighten our budget. It's easy to pass a low tax increase, but at the same time, that's something we have to live with year-round. I would much rather tighten our belt one more year, see where we can go, see what we can produce, have all the faith in the world in our department heads and all of our employees. I do want to take a close look at the water, dropping the minimum from 7, I think it was, to 4, councilors, what you asked for. I'm in favor of it, but I'd like to see what the difference is going to make and how it affects everyone else. So with that, I'm pretty much in agreement with everything our councilors have asked for. Councilor.
Mayor, was it at 5 units prior to?
10. It was 10 originally.
Okay. Yeah. And to be fair with everyone, I see we have some department heads here. Probably out of the ordinary, but if any of the department heads at this point has a question for council, they're unclear of some of what we discussed, I'm sure we'd be all would be glad to entertain a question and try to come up with the answer. So, Laura, you had your hand up first, please.
I just had a question for Councilor Cuddy. You said something about the landfill fees, about them all remaining flat, or did you just mean non-hauler fleet fees?
The hauler fee, what I meant was we discussed the progress that's been made at the landfill. I didn't want basically saying fees remaining flat to affect that.
Okay, that's thank you.
Yeah, so I didn't want that to be an issue. Okay.
Anyone else from staff? Don't want to put you on the spot, but if we're unclear or something, we'll be glad to try and answer it. So,
Mr. Diger, do you have any questions for us?
Thank you. Well, as we move along and move forward with this, I'm assuming that based on the little discussion that council's had on each one of these items as we've gone through, that there is some consensus on the things that each of you brought up. But just so that I can be perfectly clear, is it okay if we go through this list and make sure that I know where everybody stands on these issues so that we're heading in the right direction?
Yeah. Good idea.
Okay. So it's, although it seems abundantly clear, we're looking to have a 0% tax impact for this current budget.
That's correct.
Correct. For everybody. We will look into the impact of lowering the minimum sewer and water charge from 7 units to 4 units. We probably won't be able to get you that information today. I believe Laura's off tomorrow. She says with a desperate look on her face, please. So probably early next week we can run those through the formula and see what the impact of that will be on Seth's budget and any projected projects he had planned as well. As far as other fees in the city budget, we want the fees as they are now to stay in the position they are. Now, there was an added fee in there for that needed to get added, and we never actually did confirm the court appearance enforcement.
Yeah, the court one is one that that should remain the $100 that we had discussed a few weeks ago.
I just want to make sure that we're
absolutely okay with that one.
And again, the landfill tipping fees.
Yes, and again, anything that's been in the works.
On a new schedule.
Yes, anything that's been in the works that has been brought forth on the floor and discussed by council. And
okay. Yes. I can't recall any other new fees we've had recently. Anybody out there?
Fire inspection. Fire inspection.
The fire inspection fee from 35 to 50.
Oh, yeah.
And your position on that is to hold it the current 50. 35?
Right, because I mean it's only an additional $2,000. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, but we've talked about that on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah. So, just to be clear, you know, we have septage, the hauling fees that were discussed tonight, the court fee, and but the fire fee from. 35 to 50, since the economic impact is $2,000 or projected, we'd like to, again, at least keep that fee flat.
Okay. We will explore the fund balance thing, and I'll say that I'm sure we'll look for ways to make some of these changes without eating into that fund balance. That'll be our priority. As far as the parking discussion right now, we'll get Mike Talbot in here to have a discussion on the parking, but I'm not sure how accurate of a figure we can get on that as far as what kind of a financial impact that would have. I guess if we look at the whole budget for parking overall in the garage, we can maybe try to get a handle on what that number would be and if it's got a financial impact that's significant or not.
So when I asked the question, what was the payback and how long would it take, I think he said it was $90,000, and he thought that would be done in 2 years. So I guess what is he basing that on? Is he basing it on no free parking, 1 hour free parking, 2 hour free parking? And is he basing it on charging for 12 hours out of the day or 10 hours out of the day? I'm just trying to get a general idea.
He and Laura worked pretty hard on that.
Yep, I actually have those answers. It's based on no change in revenue. So we would expect actually the revenue to go up, but we had no real way of projecting the increase, so we left it flat. That is based on savings and salaries.
Thank you.
As far as expanded hours and things like that, we can probably move that and get through the budget and deal with those issues as we go along. As far as moving a couple of items, the historic and cultural sites and the Welcome Center budget items to the city clerk's budget, that's not going to have an overall impact on the budget itself. It's just moving a couple line items around. Is that the council's direction, all of council, to make that move? And then we get to the planning position, the enhanced position in planning, if you want to call it that. So I guess that might be one of the most critical items here, aside from the 0%. Where do we stand on that? And Jenny's got her hand up. She'd like to speak to that now.
Thank you. And I appreciate your comments. I understand that the council needs to be careful, especially with the climate with the federal budget. Just wanted to reiterate something I had mentioned in an email to the council last week in response to Councilor Giannantino's questions around the personnel positions. And this is kind of a combination with Councilor Carabajal being interested in some of our special projects and then this position that we're talking about right now. We will not have the capacity in our department to move forward those special projects if we don't have the additional staff. You're aware that we already have submitted a CDBG workout plan to HUD related to our evolving loan funds. We'll be bringing an amendment to our action plan to council within the next few weeks. There are many projects that will take us over capacity for the current staff with that already. So if we don't have an additional planning assistant, we will not be able to move the Parks Uniform Signage Project or the Public Art Plan forward. So I just want to make sure, and I had written that in an email, I just wanted to make sure that you're aware of that because we're talking about all of that right now. So that's just what I wanted to mention. Thanks.
I'm sorry, Jenny. I agree with Councilor Giannantino. In the sense that that because there are so many unknowns with the state and federal government, and I think that I think it's important to just plan ahead. I think that if CDBG money is completely cut or brought to a point where we can't do what we're doing now, then you know, I don't want to have to, you know, I just think it'd be much tougher if we just went ahead as we are right now, or as it has been proposed. So basically what I would like to say is that as much as I think it would be nice to have signage and the art project move forward, or at least the planning, I am more interested in that those resources going towards you know, the code enforcement position, which we voted on tonight, and also the planning also proposed that there would be a deputy position in planning, and it hasn't been said tonight by the council, but I am actually for that that position to be to happen. So but you know, I just want to basically plan for a, you know, I don't want to say worst case scenario, but just be much more prudent at this point when it comes to you know, the art project and the sign study. Both of those are studies, and you know, but I'm obviously you know, that we can continue to discuss this.
Councilor.
Have we ever thought about an additional grant funding person that is cross-functional? I think that there are multiple departments that could use that capacity, and a grant writer, especially with the turn that the state has taken toward granted projects rather than funding increases. They don't increase base aid in all of the in traditional fashions. We have a governor who likes this granting opportunity for whatever reasons, and it seems that so much of our tax dollars is divvied up through this granting model, if you will. So if there was a another Christina, if I can say that could be. I know that you get shared across departments, and I know that this is a funny time to kind of introduce a new, or maybe it's not new, maybe I'm just trying to reinvent the wheel. I don't know. But
if I may, that's exactly why this position, the planning assistant position, has been proposed. If you remember in my budget presentation, part of our issue, obviously, every day is a clerical challenge because we only have a part-time clerical position, and the proposal is to eliminate that part-time secretary and replace it with a full-time planning assistant. The other very, very important piece of this position, and even though what I said a few minutes ago, we wouldn't have the capacity to move a couple new things forward, we do have a great need to assist with our capital projects and grants position. So exactly what you just said, Councilor Carabajal, is the reason that we want to have this position. We really need a help. Christina is used across the organization, assists all departments. She is over capacity with project management, grant writing. We have worked with the finance department, and we're moving some things to the assistant controller position. That meeting just happened this week. But as I said in my budget presentation, that is a piece of the things that she does. And if we want to continue, and there are grant opportunities that we are passing by right now because we just cannot do it, this position would allow us to be able to pursue more opportunities, to be able to respond to department head requests for us to look at those things, and be able to manage these projects when they do come in.
So have we thought about the metrics that surround that justification? So how do we quantify the return on investment of a person who works in that granting capacity?
So I mean, we can look at Christina right now. I mean, you know, she's been here for what, 9 years, almost 10 years, $30 million, $35 million that she's brought in that time or more. I mean, I don't know what it is. It's up there. It's probably more. So I mean, return on investment for this position, or a position that supports grant writing and grant administration, you'll get it. Absolutely.
So I guess I think that we want to think about just how do we quantify that. I mean, maybe, I don't know, when not telling Laura to take the day off or to stay tomorrow, please take the day off. But again, I think that we understand it in an anecdotal fashion right now. Mm-hmm. And certainly we know how valuable that position is for our city, but
okay.
What are the metrics? What are the numbers?
Okay.
I agree. I mean, it would be great if we could clone Christina. I mean,
well, there's no way to do that. I don't want to set too high of an expectation for this position, because that can't happen.
I don't mean to go back to this. I just think we live in a different world. I think we live in a different country. And, you know, I think that we need to just kind of see where we are, you know, this budget cycle. And I agree. I think that, you know, the metrics could be there to justify the position. And, you know, I think that, but on the other side of that, those metrics are what's going to happen to CDBG and other kinds of funding from the federal government.
I totally appreciate the discussion.
So. I mean, you know, yep. If this was 2015, 2006, if I just think that I want to be cautious, and usually I'm not this cautious, but for now I really think that we've as a council have tried to tighten the our fiscal house. I think our comptroller's done a great job in doing that. I think that everything the staff brings to us has value and merit, and if the projections were all we wanted it to be, I would say yes. But I just want to be cautious and Councilor Carbajal, also discussed again, there's so many uncertainties in the future that we want to just prepare, and I think her philosophy is, I think the metrics would be there, but then there are these variables and the current state and federal climate that we're not sure of. The only thing that we can control is ourselves and, the council. If we've only heard from three of the councilors on this matter, but Councilor McCormick. Yeah.
I want to agree. That's all. Agree in the sense that if it wasn't for what's going on, you used the word climate. It's like a tornado that you don't know when it's going to come. With all the ifs and things that are going to impact how we fund things, I hate to see we have to lay people off or cut positions or reduce. I don't want to see that. Ever, and I know that it's important. Once we get stable again, if that can happen, as far as knowing that year after year, like we have been, we get our funding because we need it, and it's good for every community that gets it. That Meals on Wheels is good for people that are at home and can't get dinner or lunch. These are the silliest comments to make that you'd have to make them. That CDBG funding is not just for, art projects. It's for sidewalks and things like that, and it funds positions in our planning department that help get them other money. So I'd hate to see us have to hire someone and then not get the funding, and then we'd have to make a lot of worse decisions. Then it's not that we won't ever do it, but it just right now I'd hate to make this decision and have to go back on it. I think we need to be cautious.
I really appreciate this discussion and thank you for that, and I think it's right to be cautious. I just want to make sure that people understand our capacity and that I let you know what the realistic expectations are for what we can do. So thank you. I appreciate that.
Jenny, I share the same thoughts as my fellow counselors. Yourself, myself, Jeff, John, Christina, the chief, were all here when we eliminated positions not too many years ago. That was an awful day a number of days. It was very, very hard for everyone, especially the affected employees. I can't speak for the council, but I believe I do. I don't think any of us want to put ourselves into that position. Being haphazard as to what we are trying to accomplish. We know the value of Christina. We talk too highly of Christine and all the staff, how well they do for us. People are going to start kidnapping you and take them to other cities. But we
I got the chains ready for the desk.
Yeah. But we, you can get away with saying that, I can't. So, but we do value our employees, and it's certainly, we're 4 months into this calendar year. None of us know for sure what's going to happen tomorrow, let alone 6 months or a year from now, with the state of our country and our world. I don't ever want to go through that again. I don't think anyone else does. So at this point in time, I would be very, I want to be more conservative and just watch what we're doing and then working from our experience. This may turn around and may be somewhat similar to what it is in the past year, but on the other hand, it might go 180 degrees out from that, and we want to put ourselves in the right position for that. And I think staff would agree with that when staff thinks about it and talks about it. So
thank you for the conversation.
Okay. Mr. Geiger, you have the floor.
Forgot who had. The last thing I've got on here is a clarification, or at least a better definition of the roles and responsibility of the additional watershed inspector. And I'm sure we can get you that relatively easily. That really concludes the list of the things I had from everybody here. Is there anything else at this point?
I think he wanted to know about the additional funding, not the position. Right?
I would like clarification on what the additional funding is going to be used for.
I guess in conclusion, that wraps up what I need, and then we can get to work tomorrow on some of these things, and probably, have some answers back to you more than likely early in the week next week or midweek, and definitely have things ready for discussion on Thursday. I need to thank all our department heads and especially Laura for getting us through this again, and thank you, counselors, for making this a budget process so far has been much more pleasant.